Hey y'all, welcome back to Sunday Scaries. You're about to hear the audio from our Sunday night stream, so we're keeping you in the chat even when you couldn't make it live. Come hang with us live Sunday nights at 8:30 p.m. Central. It's free to join, where we catch up, talk about whatever y'all or we want to, and we'll wrap up with videos sent in by you. If you want to watch instead of listen, the full video is free on Patreon and it's linked in the episode description. Now, let's get into it. Sinister. Hello and welcome to Sunday Scaries. And we were
But then I told my deepest, darkest secrets, yeah. So
we did
miss that.
We did reveal secrets of the universe, so sorry about that. But welcome. This is where we chat. Catch
up. A one-time only thing. We were only allowed to say it once.
Yeah, no, if you say it again, we're going straight to jail. But we're here with you tonight. We're not locked up for talking just yet. And hopefully won't be, you know, fingers crossed. We don't know.
The fear gets realer every day, I will say.
I'll tell you what, I just stare out that window on my walking pad. And I'm like, I'll just turn and just run. I'm already in my running clothes. So I just run out the back door and take off.
As soon as you see. The black van approach.
I once asked my friend, what if they come? And he's a lawyer and he goes, don't open your door.
I apologize.
Oh man.
I'm going to try not to do that anymore.
No worries. Jeff said headed to Chicago tomorrow for work. Do you have a must try food recommendation?
Oh yeah.
Oh my goodness. All the things.
A lot.
Oh, I wonder if things are still there. I remember the burgers from Kuma's Corner being quite
good. I was going to say Kuma's also. It's a cool vibe too.
I like, pizza-wise, Giordano's is good. People fight over which one
do you like. Everybody has their...
I lived by a Giordano's, so that's kind of like
what's
where
the
I'm
other going. One?
Oh, man. There's Pizzeria Uno. Lou Malnati's,
That's the one I'm thinking of.
I do love Malnati's.
That is very good.
Vito and Nick's on the south side, if you like thin crust. I seem to remember Vito and Nick's thin crust pizza was... I think it was on maybe Dunner's, Drive-Ins, and Dives. But, yeah, no matter... You can't go wrong, truly. Let us know where you end up.
Yeah.
Let us know.
Yeah, there's a tons of great places.
Jessica says, can we talk the movie Wicker? We've looked up that trailer.
We've seen the trailer. Has it come out?
I don't know if it's come out yet. Let's see.
I mean...
No, not yet.
I'll talk about the trailer.
Who's the guy that plays it?
Skarsgård.
That's right. The Skarsgård fella.
One of three, I think?
Alexander Skarsgård.
Peter Skarsgård?
Peter?
He's Pennywise.
He is. Is he...
Yeah. Alexander is Wicker Man.
Yeah, yeah. And then Peter Dinklage
he probably
doesn't
like
Wicker
to be
Man.
Called Pennywise.
He's like,
my name's Peter.
Please stop calling me Pennywise. Peter.
Please stop calling me. Five. They said one of five scars guards.
Are they all brothers?
You better
guard. Sisters?
If you don't guard your scars, five of them will come out. No, I think all boys.
Oh my goodness gracious. I bet they were popular in high school. Goddamn.
Stellan is the father. He's from Good Will Hunting. He's the professor in that.
Oh. So it's like even their dad too. Okay.
He could get
it. And their mom's an actress too, right?
Daddy. Bill. Bill is Pennywise. Peter is not related. Peter is SARS. Bill.
Oh.
Scars.
That's too Scars close. Versus- You can't have
you can't
two people that have such a weird name, but it's there are two of them, but one letter apart.
I'll tell you what, this film is coming out. Wicker's coming out October 23rd, so we've got
put
time.
Put it in the calendar, block the day.
Time to wait.
I'm excited. I think it's a weird fucking
heart pounder
premise, but interesting and unique, and I love the whole cast.
I like the message seems to be interesting regardless. I want to see the execution, which looks delightful. looks delightful.
As a fan of furniture, I feel like...
you do love furniture.
I have to go do my due diligence you to do. See, like, how would this rattan chair feel if I sat on it?
In various ways, because I'm going to sit on that wicker two ways. You know what I mean? Maybe three.
And you know,
I don't know.
Sometimes... It busts too easy. If you like stand, have you ever stood on a wicker chair and your foot gone through it?
You know what?
Am I the only person that's happened to as a child?
No, it happened to
I remember
a lot of guys.
Vividly busting a rattan chair thing we had.
Mm-hmm. No, if it busts, that's okay. It happens to a lot of wicker. That bust is, yeah. Jessica said, I need a weight bearing wicker. That's right.
I
need some strong wicker.
Yeah.
I need it to be strong and hard.
And I'm like 1,000 times bigger than I was when that happened. So.
Who knows what's busting? But we all have wicker furniture as children. I did. I had a pink wicker chair.
Mine was, I had like white wicker bedroom furniture.
Oh, yeah, yeah. My sister had bedroom furniture too. But I remember I had like this chair that kind of had like almost a throne-ish back.
Yes, that's the one I broke.
Oh, no
way. Except ours was tan.
Those things got so dry so fast. And you're like, why did houses just go up in flames in the 80s? Yeah. And it was like the furniture. It was like literally Three Little Pigs where they're like, I'll build my house in straw. No. And you're like, oh, no.
Sometimes I wonder how we all survived. White but you know what? I feel like what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Exactly. And that's why... Yeah. Our generation doesn't take a lot of shit.
No, the asbestos that we inhaled, it did make us stronger.
I did have the white wicker, Jessica, and it had the, I had like glass tops. Mm-hmm. So I would go through magazines and like cut out all these like edgy sayings and stuff, or just like, you know, it was basically, a scrapbook across my entire bedroom furniture. Mm-hmm. But it was fun. And yeah, so.
You're the original, like, message, or what do you call it? Like a board, mood board, or like.
It was, board. Yeah, it was a lot of mood board kind stuff. Of,
yeah, I did that.
All cut from Sassy or 17 or Teen Vogue or something like that.
I would print stuff off on my computer or cut them out of the thing and then decoupage them on, like, my mirror and make, like, decoupage of all either pictures.
Simon's
of my
very into
magazines.
Tommy printing out what he calls movie posters. and they basically are. It's like the what's on the poster of the movie for all these different movies. It just doesn't have all the movie information.
What are some movies?
Oh, well, I can run you through them because he's turned his room into an Alamo draft house because he taped them all around. Like Alamo has them all framed. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Then he took them down and now he has a business idea that he should make them for Alamo. He was like, I can take my pictures up there and give them, and then they can frame them and put them up there. I was clearly, like, yeah.
For certainly.
Should a child be doing the new Wicker Man poster?
He's like, look, he's maybe a chair. He's a chair, but he's a person. And you're like, yeah, yeah, in a lot of ways. Yeah. Accurate. Accurate. You know what? He's a graphic designer. He is the future.
So we have...
It's an extremely serious job making movie posters.
It is. Paw Patrol, the new dino one.
Hell yeah.
Is in rotation. Secret Life of Pets 2. Hoppers. Mm-hmm. Swapped. Mm-hmm. Oh, Super Mario Galaxy.
Azekiah and the Bee King starring Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Shawshank.
Hell yeah.
We gotta get
like,
him some
Pulp Fiction.
I'm like, this is Reservoir Dogs.
He says, it says bad mother you know that word. You know that word.
We'll get there. Man, I hadn't even thought about the world of possibilities.
Give him a Big Lebowski poster. Yeah. Yeah. Blues Brothers poster.
Of introducing some. He's just been doing ones because he tells Tommy which ones to print off.
He's kindergarten. That's when I was obsessed with. My favorite movie is Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I didn't know what they were doing. They just ran around a lot, and I just loved Matthew Broderick's face, and they became my imaginary
friends. In kindergarten?
Friend. Yeah, I was little bitty.
I don't think...
Because it came out on tape.
I don't think Simon... He's into, like, more animated stuff. I don't know that would do it for him.
I think it... I loved Pee-wee's Playhouse before that, and Pee-wee talked straight to camera, and now I'm putting it together. Ferris Bueller talked straight to camera, and I think probably I was like, oh, he's talking to me like Pee-wee does.
That's
like,
what they want you to feel.
Thanks, and John Hughes. I was a child.
Later, the Blue's Clues guy.
True, yeah.
And Mr. Rogers.
Mr. Rogers did talk to me before that. Blue's Clues I missed by a few years, so by the time, I was like older, but I thought I was like, look, he's talking to me.
And then he started re-talking to people on TikTok when...
Oh, Steve.
Yeah, Steve, angel. That was it.
He is an angel.
Yeah.
His even though he was not like as a toddler for me, his face came out Nickelodeon when I was still watching it, you know, even like a little older shows. But yeah, I want to see him live. I didn't know Steve from Blue's Clues performed. Hell yeah.
It's not what you think.
Oh, okay. Is it like whenever I went to see...
I have no idea.
When I went to see David Cross and he's like, all of you who just only know me from Arrested Development.
Right.
Uh-oh. Anyway, here's the thing about Donald Trump. And you're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
He's real serious.
Yeah, that's true. It's more of a lecture that you're kind of attending.
Oh, for David Cross?
But funny.
Oh, so funny.
Versus like what a lot of people might think he's just going to do
like
on...
Wacky.
Blues Brothers.
But it's very politically charged, you know?
Oh, yeah. Gosh, that's what really turned me very political. When I was 15, I listened to Shut Up, You Fucking Baby. And it's a lot about the Bush administration, about how ridiculous, like, unnecessary censorship was and how stupid Bush was. And he's like, I think, and I might be wrong, but I think George W. Bush is the... possibly the stupidest president we've ever had. And I was like, David Cross, I've got such bad news for
this
you, buddy.
This isn't going to age well.
25 years later.
Yeah.
Very bad news.
Yeah.
But he was ahead of a lot of stuff on that. And including the misuse of the word literally. He goes off on that. And I was like, this was 2001.
Damn, he clocked that early.
Like, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. When we were talking about furniture, did you see the gentleman on TikTok that Derek Cahill, he's like a comedian, and he ordered a Love Sack couch, and it came in, like, conservatively 50 boxes.
Oh, my God.
And he's, like, filming himself going...
to his door?
I mean, UPS, yeah. And some people in the comments are like, imagine the UPS drivers. And someone's like, during the pandemic, everyone went nuts with these things. And it's a nightmare to deliver.
Or imagine you live in an apartment building. What, are they going to live 100 boxes down in the, like, shared mail area for
just
you?
Just completely blocks the door. And
that's,
they're like,
crazy.
There was a fire. Three people died.
Yeah.
Love Sack.
I hope that Love Sack was worth it.
So he's kind of like, a little bit ridiculous, but whatever. And he's like, yes, Laurel says each box is a cushion. He's like, this is corporate terrorism. And they're expensive. They're like
$7,000. That's insane. Then you got to get rid of all those boxes.
Insane. And so people in the comments are like, Costco took my old couch or took the trash. Like, they delivered it. Article put it in. Like, everybody's like, Ashley Furniture delivered it. Pottery Barn, Crate and Barrel. Like, a ton. And they go, and it, like, was a couch, not, like, pieces. Well, he went pretty viral. He has, like, a million followers. Love Sack's response was the probably worst corporate response you can have. First of all, they post...
Die, bitch.
Dog, they post a woman taking one of the cushions out, and it's too long of a video. And it just says the feminine urge to overtake the masculine. And it was like, imagine getting the ick from him because he won't put your couch together. Essentially being like,
what?
It's so easy a woman could do it. And don't you get an ick from a man who can't do something? It's so easy this woman can do it. She's like, not struggling, but she's putting the couch together. Well, that did not go over well. They post another one that was like, Is your wife into you because you put the Love Sack couch together? It's the worst. Like,
corporate. I'm a coughing fit.
So then the CEO, because mind you, you're like, who the fuck would have a company called Love SAC Sack, spelled like ball sack, and your actual product is shaped like a ball sack?
I think it's all intent, and it's love, and they associate perhaps balls and love.
And by love, you mean full of cum sack. So
yes.
He goes on, like, fully deletes it later, but he initially goes on and is trying to do this alpha thing, and he's like, oh, Derek, do you need some little pink gloves because you can't put the couch together?
Is this the CEO of Love Sack?
The CEO of Love Sack is going, oh, Derek.
That would give me the ick in a way that no one else ever has.
You wonder, like, who would name their company that, and you listen to someone that stupid and you're like, that guy. Well, anyway, he deletes that one because obviously all the comments are like, are you insane? And then the next one he post is even worse. I mean, it's kind of cleaned up, but he's essentially saying, okay, Derek, you sent your army of followers after us.
Ooh, so it's just passive aggressive.
Yes, it's extremely passive aggressive. And everybody, like, in the comments, people said, I'm a professor of marketing, and thank you, I'm going to use this of what not to do.
Damn. Yeah, and who is on your team that's not telling you to fucking stop?
Like, who? Does he just have access, random access to social media? And you go, someone goes, don't be like the McDonald's CEO who wouldn't take the bite of the hamburger.
Right.
If you're a real man and you stand behind your product, film yourself.
Put
it together, no cuts, the same thing that he, the exact same couch he got. You can look him up and then be like, okay, now look,
live,
it's not
stream
that hard.
It.
Yes, but instead it's bent over and he didn't do it.
What happened?
Well, now, see, eBay targeted that vlogging. Melanie had the baby!
Yay!
She's here. Cuntley's arrived.
Oh, God.
Magnolia May, right? It was our Sunday Scaries baby.
Yes. Magnolia May, a much sweeter name than Cuntley.
Little Cuntley.
Which she one day will understand that joke. And
that,
but you know what? I'm not going to steal Melanie's shine and explain it. I'll let her do that.
No, she can do that. Mother, what do they mean? Oh, we're so happy. Our first Sunday Scaries baby.
Yes.
Thank you, Button. Hell yeah. Well, anyway, yeah, I hope she's getting some sleep. Yeah, don't be on here. Log off. You can watch the replay.
Yeah.
You can listen to the audio if you need something to keep you company later.
Go do something.
Yeah, no worries. Oh, man. More modern spelling.
Well, I had read that as Melania had the baby. And for like half a second was like, what? And then I was brought back to reality. But in that half second, I was like, oh my God, this whole thing with Natalie Harp and him is just so disturbing and vile.
It's wild.
And dark. And I mean, unhealthy. Like, if we wake up tomorrow and it's like, she fucking blew everybody away, like, everyone would be like, yeah, we're all waiting for that to happen. Like, she needs help.
I think the Secret Service has meetings about her. They're, like, concerned about... And someone pointed out today the language. For those of you unaware...
Unhinged is... Damn, yeah. Like, she's the poster child for it.
And this, I think... I'll be fascinated for us to go back and listen to this conversation in 6 months or a year or whatever when we kind of, like, where are they now? It's like when we talked about Havana Syndrome in 2021. And then it was like, turns out it was real. But at this time, if you're not familiar, she is the special executive assistant to the president.
But she also has another title.
Okay.
Right?
That's well, she's like executive assistant and special advisor to the president.
She made him put in special or
something.
Or he knew.
He did.
He knows how to have her under his thumb. I mean, and now like seeing the interview with her brother. Clearly, this has been, like, a weird, unhealthy obsession for a while. She's needed help for a while. And to be only 35 and already at this point, somebody step in. Where are their parents?
Sinisterhood will be right back.
I mean,
I don't know how if their parents are any better.
Yeah. So if you're not familiar, she's a special assistant to the president. But she started out, the way she got famous was... And when he was running for president the first time, she came forward on LinkedIn and told a story how that she was in the hospital with some unknown ailment and that instead of giving her saline, they put diluted water in her IV and that gave her bone cancer. And then she had terminal stage 2 bone cancer, which that's you either are terminal or you have stage 2, regardless. Then she claims she did a miracle treatment under Donald Trump's Right to Try Act, which he signed into law in 2018. And so she came forward on LinkedIn and made this post and said, hello, I would be dead if it were not for Donald Trump. Donald Trump's signing this bill saved my life. So then they had her speak.
What exactly was the bill?
Like, I believe it was like insurance companies have to pay for experimental treatments or doctors have to allow you to elect for treatments that haven't been through certain, you know, FDA or whatever. And then she, because her LinkedIn post goes viral, then she's invited to speak on the stage at the, I think the Republican National Convention, and then gets up there and on stage is like, you're Donald Trump. And she's like, the Right to Try Act saved my life. Donald Trump saved my life. Donald Trump is the reason why I'm here today. He saved my life. Like that kind of stuff. And so he loved that already. So then, you know, in the meantime, you put her on ice. She became part, she worked as part of his campaign for re-election 2020. That didn't go so hot. Worked for One America News for like two years. And then when he got reelected, she was working for the reelection campaign and then got assigned. But during 2022 to 2024, helping him in the reelection, she became known as the human printer because she would run about with the physical printer. And then she would get positive articles about him and print them out amongst also letters that she typed herself. And to your point of her being under his thumb, I would like your take on this. People pointed out language in her letters that seemed to indicate some type of BDSM type relationship.
Oh.
Because I think it was Suzanne.
Like secretary.
Yeah. Suzanne Lambert pointed out in 50 Shades of Grey, part of the whole thing was like, you need to eat and sleep to be ready for me. Mm-hmm. Well, in several of her letters, Natalie Harp pointed out, and Suzanne Lambert is the one that pointed this out, was like, kind of mentioning like, I haven't been eating, I haven't been sleeping. And then another part, she said something like, I'm in Ireland, so when it's cold, my scars show or something, like some reference to some type of scar. Mm. So then also, if you see in the photographs, there's her running down the golf course to get up to, or at one point it's, she jumped in the trunk.
Yeah, I think the motorcade took off and she was like, I'm supposed to be in that car. And there wasn't any room for her, and no one was going to get out to let her in. And so she was like, then I'm going to run in the trunk.
She's like, I will throw myself
and
in the
trunk. And she did. And, like, she, there's a, I don't know what's going on in the picture. It's on Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
It's through the plane window. She's doing something behind him. I don't know what it is.
She's fixing that dicey.
But, I mean, she's probably the one that does that kind of stuff.
Certainly. I mean, I would not doubt it at all. And I believe recently when he,
escaped on the decoy plane in the catering cart. She was with him in the catering cart, but not the people that have like the nuclear codes and stuff. You know, like not very well planned.
No.
He's like, other sandwiches and Natalie. But
they, she also like reached out to Bush W. And that's what her brother said in an interview. And that she's just not mentally well. And that he said, everything Trump stands for, like our mom always told us, like that's what makes a good man is, which he did not elaborate on like what tenets he's specifically talking about. But so she seems to have had this unhealthy infatuation with like older, people in power. I did wonder if this was like some kind of a weird
fetish.
Yeah.
Button says
on some level.
She likes herself a war criminal.
She sure
does.
She's
got a type and she's like, starts over wars in the Middle East.
Or being like told that you treat me better than everyone else. I mean, the love bombing is insane. Oh, yeah. So she's getting like that dopamine. And she's just like, in another one,
it's like the most powerful man in the world. I think it was Mar-a-Lago.
They didn't have a place for her to stay because they don't want her near him. Because I think even they are like,
she's going,
we don't know what could happen.
She's a wackadoo.
But she slept in the locker room.
That's right. For the whole summer.
A long time. Yeah. Like weeks or months.
This is one of the letters she wrote. Dear Mr. President, I'm sorry. I thought I was the only one left behind last night and had no idea. Margot's car was also pulled over and sent back to the airport. Since I was alone in the van outside customs without my passport, I panicked and should have called Secret Service instead of you. I also
am sorry. She called him directly then.
If I was an embarrassment walking the course in Scotland. The first day I was told there were no carts and people walked, which is why I walked. The second day, I was specifically asked by, I forget who his name was, but one of the main people who worked there, if I could continue walking and tell any other girls who would head out there to do the same to spare the course any more carts. If there is anything else I have done to cause you trouble, please forgive me. I know that some people have said I haven't been texting them back, and there have been some international cell issues. John was having technical issues on the plane, too, so asked me to help him out. Then there's a whole other paragraph where she says,
I can't listen to much more.
Yada, yada, yada. I have to sign off as the cars are leaving. See you soon.
So she's writing this as this is happening.
And then she's like, control P.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it sounds very much like someone who has an obsession, who's literally obsessed.
Yeah, no, I think so. Everybody's asking, how did the letters get out? There has been speculation that the release of all this information correlates with the departure of the press secretary. So it's not been proven that Caroline Leavitt like leaked stuff. And it could be people just are framing her and we're like, wait till Caroline's out. We'll just release it all then and people will blame her. Or she just did it herself.
Yep. Somebody said maybe she's a CSA victim. Could be.
Oh, interesting. Or, I don't know, like, you get tapped by a foreign government?
She sounds like she's in a cult, which she is. Yeah. And she's, like, hypnotized and under the spell of the cult leader.
Yeah.
And that's what she is.
You'll do anything.
And it's a cult.
Anything. No, it is. Especially a person like that that demands extreme loyalty. Like you said, you probably get something out
values
of, like...
Values loyalty a lot.
The head pat. Like, I'm his little... Perfect little angel. In the chat, I don't recall who. Apologies. Someone asked us to mention Spider-Man punching Jake Lang. Have you seen?
No.
I'll have to look up who. I don't know that we've identified this, but do you know who Jake Lang is?
No.
I only know that he's a Nazi, but I don't know under what context.
No, I don't need to know anything else.
So he was punched in the face, so that's good.
That's good.
Yeah.
By who?
So he is an American far-right activist, white nationalist. And he was trying to, I believe, start a riot in Minneapolis this past, yesterday, Saturday. And he and his associates arrived. There was counter-protesters. It escalated. And mace was deployed by both sides. But in a pretty epic image, let me see if I can pull it up. He was struck in the face by a gentleman dressed as Spider-Man.
Well... Maybe that's what we need, or some superheroes.
Yeah, here we go. Let's see if I can...
They've been saying they can do shit for a long time. Now's the time to show us.
Exactly. Make use, Marvel. Make use of that IP.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he reared back
Damn.
And punched him in the face.
So Jake Lang is the one with this, unfortunately, camo backpack as I sit here with a camo hat on, which is, we're different camo people. Yes. I promise you that. But is that who?
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah. So Spider-Man punches the Nazis in the head.
Nice.
So it says Spider-Man in Minnesota punching. There you go. That's what Spider-Man, apparently in the 1930s version of the comic, it was a stated objective that Spider-Man punched Nazis. So everybody just said, you know,
oh,
this is basically him just going back to canon.
It's canon. Yeah.
It's fine.
Did they really put that in the literature in the Spider-Man 1930s stuff?
I mean, I think so. Cause
or 40s?
I think it was the 1933 one. Because
How long has Spider-Man been around?
That's a long time. There's been a lot of iterations.
That one has never... I mean, he does important work, but he's not my favorite.
Only since Tom Holland.
Doesn't interest me, really. Now, I will... Yeah, Tom Holland. I don't know why I haven't seen the Tom Holland ones, but...
Yeah, he...
I should.
That Tom Holland's like the one that got me locked in. No offense to Tobey Maguire, he did a great job. And what's his face? Andrew Garfield, I love in anything he's in. But I didn't, like you said, I don't care about Spider-Man. So I was like, whatever. But
yeah, for whatever reason, the other two.
I think Tom Holland just brings something that's more, I don't know, Brooklyn boy, emotive, empathy kind of, I don't know, to it. I love
that. That good old Brooklyn boy he does.
Well, he studied severely. Like, he, like, really went into character on the accent to be specifically, like, that area where he's at. Or Queens mm-hmm. or wherever he's from. I don't remember. Somewhere. But, yeah, apparently in the 30s, the Depression era, he specifically spends his time operating as a vigilante detective hunting down and fighting Nazi operatives in New York.
Well, then it is canon.
So, I think... You have to nullify if you're the jury because Spider-Man, I didn't get it in any of this.
Is he being charged?
Did they arrest Spider-Man? Throw it in the chat. We got to look it up.
Man, we got to get the pics of that.
It's like working at Magic Time Machine and they came for Captain Jack.
They did arrest him? What was Jake Lang, apart from just being a walking piece of shit and taking up oxygen, was he like actively yelling or invoking... The other side, when he got punched?
They said that they had, like I said, there was pepper spray coming from both sides. So I think things just begun escalating.
Yeah.
Video of the arrest.
The thing with pepper spray is it doesn't really stay on one side because it goes in the air and the air goes wherever it wants.
Right.
So even if you're spraying it at the other side... Your side's probably going to get it, too.
Truly. But I wonder if you're in a movie realistic Spider-Man, it blocks
them. Maybe you have a built-in gas mask in there.
Pepper spray from you.
Thought of everything.
Pepper gel is the way to go. I did switch to pepper gel.
Oh, yeah. I've heard of that.
It gets a stick.
And it's kind of like a web. Mm-mm. You can pretend, yeah, you are your own Spider-Man.
Be the Spider-Man you want to see in the mm-hmm. world and punch a Nazi in the face.
And they have like 27 of them or some shit. I remember I did see like the Spider-Verse one. And I was like, there's so many versions of Spider-Man.
Spider-Pig?
Yeah. Spider, the Spidey?
Miles Morales?
Yeah, Ghost Spider. There's a lot of them. So... I don't know.
One of them's got pepper spray in there.
For sure.
You gotta have them where you can stick to the wall and it also stings their
eyes. Like one of those gel sticky hands that you used to get from like the skating rink or like a quarter machine. And they get stuck under the couch and be the nastiest fucking things you've ever seen when you would find them.
Dirt claws,
covered
cat hair,
in everything
Cheeto
gross.
Dust.
Gone. So much fuzz and dust bunnies and hair.
Lord knows what.
Lord knows what's in there.
It's just nasty.
Those things were good for like two throws, and then they were you couldn't use them. They were so gross.
They would become like almost velvet, you know, because they just got so much like
fur
dust, whatever stuck to them. Like, well, that was that.
I would stick them to the wall. I'd smack them on the wall.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
The window in the car.
Yeah. I don't think I'm the same. My mom probably didn't love it, so she probably shut it down. Which. I agree. I'm always like, don't throw those things on the wall.
No, it's like you probably take the paint off at some point. God knows what they're made out of or what's even in them. That's anything nowadays. I'm like, what's even in this?
And it's hard to know even more now because there's just everything's been gutted. So it's like every day something that you probably ate that day is recalled.
Like, surprise, everything has diseases. Mm-hmm. Welcome to America. That guy
could have prevented that.
If only last April we didn't have a headline that was like, FDA announces food testing stops in all areas. Well, that's how you get doo-doo in your food.
You know what?
Congrats. Jessica said I finally beat the cyclospora.
Nice.
No warrior. I'm sorry that that happened to you.
I bet if you, oh shit, I forgot what I was going to say. Never mind.
But there's too many, oregano oil has it. Oh, is that what helps you with the cycle? 7 weeks?
Oh my God.
Finally just going back to salad.
It was from lettuce? Damn, dude.
Oh yeah, prayers for Indiana. Did we see this? The whole place is out of power. Nobody's talking about it. It looks like the inside of grocery stores looks like The Walking Dead.
What happened?
They're out of power. Discuss Indiana, please. Let me look.
But like, why?
Perhaps storms took it out. Let's see. Why is there no power in Gary, Indiana?
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Tornadoes.
Tornadoes. Thousands endure 12 days without power.
Oh, shit.
Nearly 2 weeks, they said. Tens of thousands of people have been without power. It was a sheer wall of wind. Folks say it's a storm like they've never seen in their life. It began on the 11th of August, came through Chicago and Indiana, and 7 people were killed.
Damn.
But yeah, they said wind gusts peaked at 99 miles an hour.
It's like a Category 3 hurricane, probably. Jeez,
for only 10 minutes. But it said the impacts have lasted for 12 days. 345,000 got their power back, but 30,000 are still without power. As of this morning, in the first few days, the supermarkets were out of it, gas stations, pharmacies, all that. But finally,
is it really hot?
World Central Kitchen.
People would die daily if they didn't have power.
Right. Have to see. Gary is right on Lake Michigan, so that maybe that helps. But it can still get hot up there. They said it is home to it was once home to one of the world's largest steel mills, but now a third of its 70,000 residents live in poverty. So folks there struggle anyhow. That's crazy, though. 12 days. And people are like, I have a wheelchair that needs to be charged. I have medication. And that roads at night are just pitch black.
Yeah.
But you're right. At night, sweating, irritable. They said it's absolutely horrible. Elderly people need oxygen tanks.
When I lived in Florida, one of the hurricanes that came through, we were without power for like over 2 weeks.
Mm-mm.
And it sucked shit.
Man. Well, I didn't know this. Quinn said the data centers are still running though.
Oh, of course
Gary.
They are.
So the people don't have power, but the data centers.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, what folks, I mean, you just come together, you just ride it out when the power goes out, wait till it comes back on.
Yeah. Or hurricanes. You leave, go stay somewhere else.
Yeah. Evacuate.
But you have to get clever on, like, what you're going to eat and stuff.
Man. Yeah, and hope that there's places that you can replenish if you don't have it. I think World Central Kitchen showed up to hopefully help. So I think a lot of trees were not maintained is one of the allegations. And that because of that, they made the power lines worse than it would have been.
Mm.
But they have asked the locals there and the governor have asked for FEMA management and funding and a major disaster declaration, but it sounds like it has not come through yet. So,
well, hearts out to Gary, Indiana.
Yeah, man. Isn't FEMA closed? I think so. Or like, I thought they took the money away from it and put it to immigration.
Yeah, I think anything that helps people, they said, we don't want to do that anymore.
They did take the money away and put it towards violence. So FEMA's still there. I think they struggled under Kristi Noem that she was unresponsive.
We all struggled under Kristi Noem.
Certainly. Except her husband, who struggled under them big old titties.
She struggled under those.
He's like, he could suffocate
himself or her with those.
He could suffocate a village with those.
Yeah, I know, for real.
Seriously, a wildebeest.
Did they ever comment on that?
Brian Noem's titties. You know what? I don't think so.
Are they still together? Publicly?
Oh, I think she's with Corey Lewandowski, but
But do they, for the public eye, say they're still in a marriage?
Let's see. Oh, she does. I think they are getting divorced.
Oh, okay.
No public filing has surfaced, but this article was from about a month ago. It says her mother says the couple's headed for divorce. Somebody called her mother.
Your like, mom's oh, giving the tea.
Spilling the tea. Oh, yeah. Her mother told the Daily Mail. So, mom.
You're a former politician and you're going to the Daily Mail?
Her mom is.
That shows just like the level of trash this whole thing is.
Man. Yeah, no, it is.
My mom's going to go talk to the tabloids about this.
She is. Mother will call the Daily Mail about this. Byron, not Brian, my bad. Yeah, I think it does say that the bimboification situation.
The bimboification situation?
Starring Byron Nome.
That sounds like...
That had to do, with it.
That song about the Emancipation Proclamation. Remember that one? The Bill?
Wait. I'm just a bill.
There was that.
Mm-hmm. But then...
Was there one about the Emancipation Proclamation?
I think there was one about the preamble to the Constitution. I remember that one.
Yeah.
Is there there is. I don't remember it. Sitting on Capitol Hill. It's a good one, man.
Sitting on Capitol Hill.
Do they still show them to children? We need to show those. I feel like they teach you a lot. I learned a lot from that.
Conjunction, junction. That was what I was trying to think of. Thank you, Laura.
Nice. There it is.
That's what... Whatever we said reminded me of.
Bimbofication situation. Bimbofication situation. What's your inflation?
I feel like that's...
Filling up tits and boobies.
That's got to be the code.
Oh, yeah. What is bimbofication?
It's going to be real hard to spell. But nobody uses them anyway, so it doesn't matter.
Bimbofication situation.
Bimbofication situation.
Market fam. Mm-hmm. Market fam. What else we got in the chat?
What else? What else has been going on?
I'm close to you.
We have we got into a weird niche
subculture
the other day, but I'm going to go to the chat first to see if there's anything you all want to talk about.
Quinn's going to be 30. What's up? Congratulations.
Happy almost 30.
Happy almost
Only
30.
Gets better.
Rosie singing to Trump. Yeah, Rosie crushed
it. I haven't seen
Jimmy it. Kimball. We can end on that after we watch our videos from y'all. We'll play some Rosie.
Yeah, she's hosting for him while he's on break, I guess.
Yeah, she said she's in talks. Oh, it's Laurel H's birthday today. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Actual birthday. Yeah, he chose her to step in. And
that's awesome.
She mentioned she sat down with some execs talking maybe next steps for something else.
Oh, nice.
She says, how would
so
you like it?
She's moved back. She
I don't
moved
know if
to Ireland.
Back. I'm like, you could probably shoot it in Ireland. Like, damn, people dude. Would come be on
That's
the show.
That's a dream.
But yeah, I think she was like, or just come and shoot, you know, come stay for a few weeks and shoot, mm-hmm. you know, a bunch of them. But she was saying, you know, kind of maybe something fun in the daytime. I was like, you mean like when you were my whole afternoon every childhood day after school?
We have to acknowledge how in love and obsessed she was with Tom Cruise.
Dude, come, lady, you got to talk about
and
that.
And now, like, looking back, it's like, what? But yeah. That was a whole bit forever. And then yeah. he came on the show and everything. So it is funny knowing what we know now. Mm-hmm. And both of those people, like, they're not in the same circles.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
She's, you know, like, running with different people than him.
Dude, he's in a very different circle.
Yeah. That very she was circle. Just so enamored with him. But I think it probably was like he was in movies that were... made an impact on her.
Yeah, and I think she wasn't out at the time, if I recall correctly. So her being like, oh, he's such a cutie patootie, it's kind of a good, like...
Not a sexual crush.
Yeah,
yeah, more of just like
put it...
Your...
He's just so cute.
I don't know. You're like star crush.
Mm-hmm.
Just like you're enamored with them, but mm-hmm. it's not really sexual.
She's like, I don't mind that he fucks fish.
Wait, it's also Quinn's birthday. Happy birthday, yeah, Quinn.
Quinn said, I'm almost 30. Aw, Candace said, our cameo almost gotcha.
Oh.
Oh, look at that. I have an update on the A24 Predator movie and the real Chris Hansen, if anyone cares, Jessica
is
says.
Is this spoiler-free?
Yeah, spoiler-free because we're trying to see it, but it's maybe about his reaction to it. Because last we heard, Chris Hansen was not told in advance they were making
right.
the film. He only learned when they dropped the trailer. And then I heard that he was going to be invited to a screening of it, but then I didn't hear if he saw the film. So let us know. I do care as well.
He was supposed to have a private screening this weekend. He had to sign an NDA, and he refused to, so he was turned away.
You made me sign an NDA for a movie?
About my own life?
Go straight to hell and die.
What are you talking about?
A24, what are you doing?
No, they got bought out by Kushner. A huge amount of their stuff did. So they sold out.
What the hell, man? That's crazy to be like, just stand That's behind weird. Your movie. That's crazy. Stand on your
Well, it kind of makes it seem like they probably changed a lot then.
They're like, listen, we can't let it get out what we changed about you. The movie's going to come out regardless. We're going to know what he thinks about it. He could just go see it in the theaters. And now this is like the Streisand effect. It's more, I'm more interested in it.
Jessica People are going to search it out more.
He's held off on commenting because he said a true reporter doesn't comment on what they haven't seen or don't know. See, I appreciate that. You can watch the trailer, but you can only tell so much.
Yeah.
I mean, good for you for getting Robert Pattinson to play
He's probably going to sue him for something too, so.
Oh, truly. If they get it, I mean, if they made you look, I don't know.
I mean, if it's
fake or...
They used your likeness without your permission. Can't you sue on something for that?
I mean, I guess if you're making a film about true events, you don't necessarily need... I don't know if it's like the story of his whole entire life from childhood on, but if it's like, this is what we know from people who talked about him as co-workers, or this is what we have footage of him at NBC, I think you'd be able to make the limited purpose movie about that part of his life because you have...
And he doesn't have to give permission?
No, because it's like a nonfiction film about a thing of note, about a historical event of note.
Well, I dare somebody to make a movie about me that's about me and then not get my input and then not let me in because I refuse to sign an NDA about things that are about me.
Go fuck yourself. When asked about the movie, he said he was, quote, too busy being the real Chris Hansen to know too much about it.
Okay, oh, damn.
Get them. But my thing is them and Chris Hansen has the suave and debonair and all that we need. And somebody that's going to be taking down the predators. Because you want that swag of like, come sit down over here. Robert Pattinson playing him. Interesting casting choice.
I like Robert Pattinson.
That's what I'm saying. Just like he's handsome and like, I don't know that everybody was like, oh, Chris Hansen's like a sexy leading man. But Robert Pattinson has range. Have you seen the...
I can't really picture what Chris Hansen looks like right now. I mean, to me, he has like dark hair. He's not nearly as good looking as Robert Pattinson. But Robert Pattinson has like a really strong, sharp jawline. Which I don't remember Chris Hansen having. No, I can see it. I can see it.
Here, I'll share it with you all. Stand by. All I'm going to say
The hair does a huge change, too. Like, usually you don't see him wearing his hair like that.
Yeah, it makes him look like news reporter-y. I mean, it's complimentary, right? Like, Robert Pattinson's genuinely, generally regarded as, like, a good-looking guy, heartthrob, whatever. Have you seen the guy they have playing Mark Zuckerberg in the new Facebook movie? you know this guy. He's from Succession. What's his name? You tell me.
Oh.
Jeremy Strong, right? Is he from Succession?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's weird.
I wouldn't even like... That doesn't make any sense to me.
The way they have him looking, though, is crazy looking. Hold on. I'm going to zoom in on
his hair color is terrible. What's with the hair? He looks like a little English lad.
I couldn't get over it. We went to go see Spider-Man, and they have this trailer for the new Facebook movie. It's about The Social Network is about when they made Facebook. The Social Reckoning is the new movie about, I think, the Cambridge Analytica.
How they all sold their souls to the devil to take everybody's data forever and ever.
Bingo. And this is him like testifying before Congress. And I'm like, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg's hair does look that stupid in real life.
But I don't think they look alike. I mean, they don't favor each other really to me. So that's a weird casting. He's a really good actor, but
this one, like,
yeah, Zuckerberg's hair looks like it's glued on, or like it's like, you know, if you had like a Barbie doll and then you put like plastic hair on top. That's what it looks like. Yeah.
Yeah, kin hair. Helmet head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I,
no. Look at, are you telling me these people are supposed to look alike? Not even, am I crazy? Their mouths are totally different.
Totally different.
Look at their lips. Like, Zuckerberg has skinny, disgusting lips with, like, kind of a downturned, closed mouth. What's the other one's name?
Jeremy Strong.
He has, like, fuller lips mm-hmm. with, like, even, like, kind of more of a heart shape that's upturned.
My creators forgot to give me lips.
Their eyebrows... His forehead is way bigger.
The eyes, Zuckerberg has those weird alien eyes that droop to the side, and Jeremy Strong's eyes are more, are closer together and more prominent.
Yeah, and Jeremy Strong has, well, they both have, they're both very heavy-lidded.
Catherine says.
But it's like, I don't know. And one of them looks wet and the other one doesn't.
For
so
sure.
He has like a pasty, moist look about him. That, I mean, I guess you could like recreate gelatinous. In for film, but just if you were like, who do we want to cast? I don't know.
Not that.
Is he offer only? Who else read for this?
Whatever happened to Eisenberg? He could have still played him, cut his hair off. He'd have looked
yeah,
the same.
No. It, and that would make more sense because like he paid. Yeah. Unless he was like, nope.
He's like, I'm done with that. People already confuse us all the time. I can't live like this. Catherine Ann said, Zuckerberg looks like a machine and rotten milk had a baby. I agree with Jessica said. Christy, you would be great for a police sketch description. I agree. April said, Zuck's face kind of looked like it's slipping down his skull.
It does. It looks like it's sliding off. Like,
it's coming apart.
Like, look at, under his eyes, it's just like a frog's belly. Amphibious. He's very amphibious.
Amphibious.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
Well, that's Zuck for you.
God. Plus, also, he just sucks shit. So yeah, I don't feel bad talking about him. Because when you're that much of a shitty person on the inside, it comes through.
It does. Have you all heard about the lawsuit against Facebook? They're being sued.
Am I involved? Because I'd like to sue them.
I think that we're entitled. I think we're all entitled to compensation. The argument currently.
Which lawsuit?
The big one. And they're very concerned about it. Is similar to. I think their argument is similar to like cigarette lawsuits of the 70s and 80s where people are arguing that not only did Meta intentionally create a product that they knew would be addictive and harmful, but that in fact they dialed up the addictive properties knowing full and well the harm that would result because in so doing they like verbatim stated and stuff that it would increase profit and was good. And a cursory understanding of this, I could be wrong, is that their Facebook's argument's like, you guys know we're bad. Like, if you get on here, like, you know we suck. So it's kind of up to you. But the kind of, like, buzz on the ground, especially it's California, Oakland jury, that it seems to be going against Facebook. That
so what are the, what could be on the table for, like, charges?
Yeah, they said that it's a civil suit, so it's money. But they said that the damages could be in the trillions or
ooh.
Up to $1 trillion. A class action, and that's the issue, is that we say, hey, you know, we're injured, I'm injured, whatever, however many people. And so that is a significant amount of damages. And I think Meta has said kind of this would put us out of business if
good.
We lost.
I am trying to get back to 1996. I've been saying it yeah. for months.
Yeah, call J.G. Wentworth. Get
I'm like, we don't need this. And like you even see on social media, people from... my generation, which sounds so old, I'm going to just crumple into dust, but like that you didn't have this growing up
mm-hmm.
and it was, and everyone always says, I'm like grieving a time that doesn't exist anymore, that like I can never like get back. And also you remember like the joy of your childhood and then having kids, you're like, this is not the same world.
Mm-hmm.
And like in so many ways and not for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So if we could eradicate social media, everyone's like, how would we live? I'll fucking tell you. I did it for like 20 years of my life.
Right. No,
the best. Well, not the best 20. The 20 after that were way better than the. Well, first 20 were pretty good. I had a fun, I liked growing up without that kind of shit, mm-hmm. I literally don't think I would have survived high school had I had social media been a thing. I mean, I was struggling without the possibility of pictures being splashed all over stuff or seeing your friends are all out and you're not, or like, you know, being bullied online or whatever. Like,
yeah, I got bullied by printouts and handwritten notes.
Was it Natalie Harp?
She's like, G-g-g-g-g-g-g-g. It just says bitch. What the fuck, Natalie?
But it's all B's, so that's cool. Is it took a really long time.
Bitch. Yeah, no, and like eventually I got, maybe like high school, I had a Zanga live journal, and it was somebody that, you know,
never had those
commenting. You know, I'm probably like, I think probably like ninth grade. You know, nasty comments on there or whatever. And then we sort of switched to AIM where we were talking to each other. Yeah. But it was good because we would talk, we would make plans. We would say, okay, come to my house. I'll see you in 15 minutes. I'll come pick you up. And then
it was kind of like texting on a computer.
Correct. And then we weren't just texting all day. We was like, okay, we're going to play football. We're going to go play dodgeball, whatever we're going to do. So
I think it was a way to connect. But now we have these tin can phones and a lot of the kids and Ella's friends have them. So I'm like, this is
important. Starting it.
We're doing it.
Getting AOL Instant Messenger back.
We're getting dial up.
I have a blog again. I'm like, I'm not putting my stuff. I'll make my own blog and I'll make my website look like MySpace. And then I did, because I was like, every like template or whatever, I'm like, I just wanted to look like the regular internet, which sounds old because the regular internet now is like,
I don't even have a picture of that in
like
my head.
Text on a page. It doesn't have to be all images and swooshy and everywhere. I just want text.
Like, what kind of a page? Where are you seeing swooshes?
Like, if you go to, like a Squarespace or like a WordPress, like templates are often, you know, they look,
okay.
This is, and granted, people probably want them from their businesses or whatever. But yeah, someone said MySpace was considering relaunching.
Really?
People are yearning for a older type of social media. I'll be back on there so fast. My brother-in-law used to write the fucking funniest MySpace blogs because he worked nights. So he worked like...
Excuse the sirens.
Speaking of which, a jail, 7 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Always happening.
And we'd just get on there and like write the funniest musings. And I remember early on like reading that and being like, I'm cool with my sister dating this guy. Like funny, you know, like riffs on like as seen on TV products or whatever. So let's bring it back.
Yeah, I had a MySpace, but... not for long, probably just like a year or two. Man, I don't know how that ever ended. I guess what came after MySpace? Facebook?
I guess so. Yeah, it kind of took over.
So I guess everyone left that. So yeah. But I mean, I think Facebook was even going on for a minute before like I got an account.
I think I signed up for Facebook fall of 2004 when I very first got accepted to college because I finally had a .edu email address, and then that was like my first, and I think I defriended everyone and just made everything private just so I could have a copy of it. But then I was like, there's too many pictures of me just chugging alcohol and like sweating and chugging alcohol
and sweat.
I had it through college and I would just be like go like drunk punch or whatever.
Glitter peace signs. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That was fun about MySpace was getting to decorate it. So it was like a scrapbooky page. Mm-hmm. Or it'd be like, this is a song. What's your stripper song? Or, you know, they'd have those like weird quizzes you would take. And then you would post like.
And tag your friends.
The top five things your friends would say to describe you. Yeah. And just like all these like. I mean, that to me is a lot going on.
Oh, yeah. It was
on a page.
They would have the like surveys or whatever, or like fill it out and copy it for your friends.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I never had Friendster, but I do remember
that.
Didn't
have that either.
I did like GeoCities and Angel Fire websites. I like had to make my Backstreet Boys fan pages on something, and I needed to learn HTML to do it.
Do you remember the ones where it would, I don't know, you'd have to like forward it to like 10 other people too, but you'd put like your answers in it. So then the next person like got your answers, but then they sent it to someone, you know what I mean? And it would always be like,
last thing you ate.
Yeah. Just, or kind of like the thing Ella was doing the other day.
The would you rather this or that? That's what it is. Last time you cried. Yeah. It was stuff like that.
1 second.
I was on the cusp of Zanga. Yeah. Zanga was like ninth grade. So that would have been 2000, 2001. and live journal.
They did a, they were doing a would you rather as like just a thing at school the other day, a written thing.
Okay.
And so I was reading Ella's answers and they were all very sweet and stuff. Like, for example, would you rather take a 1 week trip to the foreign country of your choice or take a 4 week trip around your own country? What do you choose?
I would choose 4 week trip around my own country. But...
She chose 1 week trip to the foreign country of your choice.
There you go.
So there are things like that. Like be banned from all computer use for a year. Not be allowed to eat any desserts or sweets for a year.
Oh, man. Desserts or sweets.
Yeah,
I'm
out. Yeah. I mean, how would we... We couldn't do our jobs if we couldn't use the computer.
No, huh?
Have bright blue teeth. Have bright blue hair. Seems like an
obvious hair,
one. Yeah. Who's going teeth?
Blue nails.
So it's that kind of thing. Although I was very... Be given $1,000. Have the charity of your choice be given $10,000.
Yeah, definitely the charity.
She picked that one.
Good girl.
Yes. Have one eye in the middle of your head like a cyclops. Have two noses.
One eye.
Yeah. Yeah. Always.
Because you just wear sunglasses with a low hat. And then if someone's like, you got to take your glasses off, you go, hey.
Have a friend that was really fun to be with, but not very nice. Have a friend who's kind of boring, but also very kind.
Let's go. Let's go boring, but kind. Because the first one's the trouble.
That's what we did.
They're all
So there's those. Oh, this is a good one. Be incredibly wealthy, but never fall in love or get married. Have a happy marriage, but be poor.
Oh, happy marriage. I think
that's what she selected all the ones that I was like, like have many friends, but no close friends. Have just one or two close friends.
Yeah.
I would choose that.
Yeah.
So, okay. Those are the questions. And I was like, oh, she answered so thoughtfully on all of them. I did not know there was a backside.
Okay.
At the time that she wrote her own.
Okay. It's her choices. Her handwriting.
Yeah. Sorry.
And then the chat's talking about what it was like to be sentient during 9/11. So we'll put a pin in that for after we're done. Because you do have to hear Ella's original this or that.
Would you rather have a nice life but die at 60? Live a long life but be lonely?
Long life. Figure it out.
I was like, damn. Okay. Go to Florida or Texas?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, cats or dogs?
Dogs.
Go missing or die? Which I said, I need more context because how did I go missing? Do I want to be found?
Yeah.
How did I die? Was it in a horrifying like plane crash or did I go in my sleep? Like, there's a lot of factors.
Did I go missing because I wanted to?
Right.
Because I faked it?
Have your family kick you out or have your family betray you? These are the types of questions we should be asking ourselves.
For real though.
Are you more of a cat or dog person?
She's like,
this is how you filter out, like, are you the type of person that I want to hang out with?
I'm going to just throw it out there. If you're single and looking to mingle and you need like starter questions on Bumble, just be like, hey, you can just shortcut and go, my friend's kid made this up. I'm just going to ask you a couple of these and see how they answer.
Yeah. Well.
And then you just be like, what was it like to be sentient on 9/11?
Yeah, I was going to say, another one would be like,
what was
9/11?
No joke.
Vietnam. It's like, is there a good choice here?
No, there's not. No, but I think Mary Combs said, scary and also a feeling like, oh, things are going to change. I remember my friend's brother was at West Point at the time and she was crying a lot. And I was just like, I was just stunned watching the TV. And then I'm like, why are you crying? She's like, I know this means my brother's going to get deployed. And it was like, I was like, oh shit. Like I'm not being a military family. That made so much sense that was her first thought. And she was correct. And so that idea of like, we don't even know how this is going to affect us. Like, shit. And meanwhile, my health teacher's just like, let her rip, boys. Yeah. Just watch whatever's happening. I'm like, what are those people doing? And he's like, I don't know. Yeah, then you find out later. It's horrifying.
I was in college. I don't really recall, like, if I understood even then, like, how much it would change things. Mm-hmm. I remember being like, damn, I've never seen like all the TV channels decide collectively, like, we're not airing stuff right now. Mm-hmm. And you would just turn it on and it would be like, unless there were like some news stations, but it was only news mm-hmm. because it felt weird to like do anything. People were like canceling, you know, touring gigs mm-hmm. or releasing movies at certain times and stuff.
It was unsettling, definitely, to like listening to people that you or watching people that you always watch. Like, I heard about it on Kid Craddock, and he was always like, first we're going to do this, then we're going to do this. This is the news. This is what's going on. And so to hear somebody that's always so like, da 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 da, uh-huh. was like, oh, we're watching, just if you are near a TV, you might want to turn mm-hmm. it on, because they were like, we don't know what we're watching. And so hearing that and being like, oh, the news people don't know the news, and then turning on Channel 8 and the news people didn't know the news. You know, yeah. they're just like, we're getting reports out of...
You're all learning at yeah, the same time, pretty much.
I think scanned the, or not scanned, but like digitized and uploaded like television from that day from like 30 minutes before, like all the way through, like with commercials, with like all the announcements and stuff. And it is like very surreal, like watching it, like, and then being like, well, we're not sure what this is. And you're looking at the time being like, oh something's just gonna happen. Yeah. yeah. But it's stuff like that. It's like eerie. That woman that preserved all that television. I can't recall her name. I'm going to look it up because I think she deserves a shout out. But she at some point realized like live broadcast television wasn't being archived anywhere. Mm. And so she started filming it. I'm going to say like in her basement, and then ended up creating this huge archive of like important things like that, you know, Vietnam or Watergate or whatever. I'm going to be like, lady.
Yeah, that's it's important to preserve those things because. Yeah. History tends to rewrite itself at times.
For sure. Her name was Marion Stokes. She was a Philadelphia-based librarian, activist, and visionary. She recorded TV.
I think we've talked about this.
Yeah, 24 hours a day. I couldn't remember her name. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from 1979 until her death in 2012.
Damn.
Incredible woman.
How many tapes that must have been.
They said she amassed over, let's see, 70,000 VHS and Betamax tapes.
Wow.
Filled with over 900,000.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
That's so many 100,000 hours.
I saw a million hours. I don't want to say a funny thing about 9/11, but this, it was one of those Pepe shrimp.
Oh.
Where it's like the worst
things.
Oh, yeah. And this girl was like 7 or 8, and she was talking about how her mom was the flight attendant, and she in her head thought like, if she saw a plane, it was her mom. Mm. And, like, her mom flew the plane and did all these things. And her mom was always on whatever plane there was. So then she was at school in 9/11.
No!
And so she was, like, hysterical. Like, my mom was on that plane.
No!
And the teachers were, like, trying to calm her down. And then her mom was not. She was
fine.
Thank God. But just that little kid thing of, like, how small your world really is. So you... think, oh, my dad's a cop. He polices
bank
the
robbery.
Entire city. He takes care of everything. So then you hear about, you know, a cop got shot. You're like, dad!
It was my dad! Mm-hmm. Man, there was a kid. We were supposed to go on a field trip that morning, and we were all in the multi-purpose room, which was kind of like a little mini cafeteria, waiting to go. And they came in to tell us, like, we're not going on a field trip because we don't know what's happening today. So yeah. You all have to just go to class, which we were all bummed out. But it turns out it was, like, way better to be with all our friends. But one of the kids in the class was crying, and the teachers were all kind of gathered around him. And, of course, like, the whispers come through. His mother was in New York and had a meeting at the World Trade Center, but it was going to be later in the week. But he didn't know that at the time. And so he was, like you said, just was like, I know my mom is in New York going to a building, and was like panicking, and they were able to like track down his dad and confirm she was okay. But I think at the time we all just went dead silent because we're like, oh my gosh, like of all days that she had flown out. But my grandma died and they stopped all the flights. So then my dad had to drive all the way to Tennessee. It sucked.
That does suck. The, like,
September 10th.
What was the documentary that just got mentioned? The lady who wasn't there. I think that's what it's called.
Yes,
the woman
you told
who wasn't
me to
there.
Watch that.
The woman who wasn't there. Yeah, that's a wild
one. It is
one.
On Prime if you haven't seen it. And also The Only Plane in the Sky, for those of you who maybe weren't sentient, as you put it at the time, Button said she was 4. It really gives you real-time updates of kind of what everyone knew minute by minute when they knew it. And that's a fascinating perspective of like who's getting calls from what.
So on which documentary?
It's a book called The Only Plane in the Sky.
Of course, Travis
Parris's father was flying on 9/11. He had to stay in Arizona for a week since they grounded all flights.
Damn.
Travels for work, yeah. Man, that's one of those weeks that you're like,
you're like,
it was a blur.
I'll stay grounded. That's okay.
It was a blur. Oh my goodness.
I don't think I would want to fly, so I'll stay in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Not a bad place to be marooned. Well, we got six
time
videos.
For some videos.
We got six videos.
Oh, six videos.
From you lovely folks to show this evening. If you have a video you want us to watch, go to sinisterhood.com/scaries and submit it on there. Let me get this microphone so you can hear.
She's pulling it out of her crotch, by the way.
That's my coaching. Okay.
Who's this first one from?
Lennox.
Lennox. I like that name.
Give it to us, Lennox.
Give it over. Give it over.
This is for those not watching the Netflix documentary of The Sims with Trina being interviewed. A new person's in the chat.
That was me. I did that same thing.
Yeah, they're
every
always
time.
On fire.
Why did the babies catch on fire?
Tripodo Ricano and Sapanka Dudu.
Why did it mental?
Kudo and Kyo Sabata.
That would happen. You just get stuck.
You take
the
ladder
off. Stuck in the pool.
I came to Bodo.
I often will picture this with laundry.
Simple Kudo. Kudo.
Lock him in a room with no door.
Roller coaster tycoon. Jana.
She moved out. You got to get away.
Clever.
From those sadistic Sims players.
Yeah. Oh, man. Every time I walk past piles of laundry, I'll be like, if this was the Sims, there'd be
stinky.
Yeah. And like, I'd be getting and then you go, deducted points. Yeah. And then I'd pee myself, and then I do pee myself.
Yeah, I do get upset.
Or the flies around the trash and stuff.
Man, I haven't played Sims since I had a PC at my parents' home computer. So that would have been like 2005 or earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been a minute. I'm sure.
The Sims I played when exist. Tommy and I, and we got together in 2010.
Okay.
So it's probably like 2012. I think there was a period where I was playing The Sims quite a bit.
Still around, folks said. It's still... it still exists.
It's fun, yeah.
Build this house, the end.
Does it wait for you?
Like in the background?
Well, like, yeah. Like, if you, all your stuff gets saved, or do you log back in and it's like, everything's on fire, the trash is everywhere because nobody's been, like, keeping it up?
Yeah, I think if you don't
It waits? In, okay.
Okay.
Nice.
Oh, it does wait. Okay. Sometimes, I thought mine, but maybe I'm wrong, but the time passes. Quinn said we're boycotting The Sims. It turns out the... people that make it are terrible.
Oh, EA?
Who knew?
Yeah, well.
Who knew? Yeah. And it was on the computer.
A lot of people know.
It was a CD. I was a CD game person, and they don't do that anymore, I'm told.
No, you've got to download games. Download them, but you still don't own them, so.
I need to know. My mother gave
That's
me.
Cool.
Tommy might know. Yeah, it's like you are renting it from them until they you decide. You don't,
like, games can't really be owned anymore by a person. It's crazy.
My mom gave me the hard drive of our old home computer, and I don't know how to get stuff off of it, but I would, if anyone knows, I would love to poke around.
Don't know.
And yeah, who knows what could be saved on there, but I have like a bunch of CDs from games I used to play on PCs, but I have a Mac now,
so. Yeah, there was some
stuck
king something, like you were, it was
like a king simulator.
No, there was some video game, King's Quest, that's it.
Okay.
That was one, like, that was on a CD.
Yeah, you could play it. That's what...
on the computer, on a PC.
And they would also, like, I think it, I don't know, Computer Center or whatever, and you get a CD that would have, like,
samples of like five games on it. Either they would give them to you or you could play them. You could play like the first five levels.
The CD-ROM games, yeah.
CD-ROM games, perfect for me. I would play the first, whatever, 3 to 5 levels, whatever it's framed, be like, eh, I'm not going to play the rest of it.
So I don't need to finish it.
It was worth it. Well, Trovana sent this next one in. Let's see what we got. Yeah, demo disc, Aline. That's what they're called.
Oh, yeah.
Is this a thing in your part of Texas? Uh-oh. Troiana.
So it's come to my attention that the majority of world doesn't know what a mom is. You know how high schools have homecoming? Please tell me.
We did not really, in Texas, or at least the people
homecoming
I...
Homecoming means that your boyfriend's mama drives to the Hobby Lobby or hires someone to
hang
do
out with in high school.
And spends at least several hundred dollars to make you what's called a mom. Mm-hmm. And then you and your mama make your boyfriend
really
a garter. Now, a mom is a flower. You get one flower for each year of high school you've completed.
I didn't even know
and
that.
Here's what a freshman one looks like.
Mm-mm.
And here's what a sophomore one looks like. And here's what a junior one looks like.
Yeah, sometimes they're like crazy.
Her and her boyfriend, a mom and a garter. That is so common, okay, where I come from. Not only is it real, it is a status symbol. On homecoming day, you wear them to school with either your normal clothes or your homecoming overalls. Okay, and then you wear them up and you clack through the hallway. The bougiest ones have lights, stuffed animals, jingles and bells.
I did never see these in person, but it is a thing here.
And then, because you can't sit down in the blessed thing, your teachers have tables in the back of the room. Take it off.
Everybody go put your mom back there. Yeah, you're like, drop a pencil. It's like,
I asked my friends what their moms looked like when I got to college, and I was met with a bunch of concerned and blank stares because turns out this is just Texas.
People keep them too.
Does anybody else know about this? Is there any other state that does it?
I believe.
I think like southern states.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know, like to the east, southeast, y'all tell
Louisiana,
us.
Louisiana.
I mean.
Oklahoma, Georgia.
We definitely had them in school. I inherited my sister's mom, which was a single. So when my sister graduated in 99, and when she was a senior, she had like a single mom. There's a place called the Sale Place in Box Springs, and you went and had the flowers, the backers, the ribbons. And right before homecoming, I mean, it would be packed with people like pulling yards of ribbons and stuff. And then you were supposed to, or you could take that and then like she said, like stack them up. I remember girls with the ones over the shoulder and then some that were like this big, but now you see ones that are like poster board size. Mm-hmm. And we never had that. We had, it was one for each year. Although except for mine, I was like, this is huge. I'm not going to do a huge one. I'll just wear the same one every year. And I would just change the ribbons, like add whatever ribbons to it.
I never had one. They weren't really a big deal. I mean, I know there were some people that had them, but they were not nearly as big as like those were that I remember. I don't know, maybe. But yeah, I also went to high school and like, you know, graduated in 97. But I was never really into that kind of stuff. So, might have just been me.
Well, I think too, it was like
97.
There was definitely a crew that like were, you know, they were more, I don't know, on the various like drill team or like the spirit squads and stuff. And theirs would be huge. But I mean, my friends had them. So I was like, I'll have one. But I didn't want something I was going to have to like bulk around. And especially the beads would clack, the little bells tinkle.
Mm-hmm.
And it could be just people. It sounds like a herd of cattle walking down the hallway, just so many bells. But yes, Troiana, it is a thing where we live.
You're supposed to wear it to your wedding? Stop.
No, I've never heard that. For sure not.
That's, I know that you keep a piece of wedding cake or the top of your wedding cake and eat it on your 1 year anniversary. And I did do that.
Oh yeah, we did do that. Paris said he knew some enterprising girls that made mums for other people and made bank. That's the move.
Oh yeah.
If you're crafty.
People would, people's parents would make them for people too.
Mm-hmm. Order it. Order it. Well, thank you, Troiana, for that walk down memory lane. Adria asked this next one or sent this next one in. Head blowing up emoji.
Four times.
This was crazy. This was crazy. Okay, so I got my degree. I got a bachelor's and master's in psychology, and I'm getting another degree in physics just because it interests me so much.
Good
and this is literally why. This is so cool. Okay, so for context, so we know that time doesn't actually exist. Every single like, renowned physicist understands that like we perceive time with the past, present, and future, but that's not how time actually is. Time actually is like all happening at once. Everything that has ever happened and will ever happen is all happening
right now.
I'll
never understand this.
But as humans in this 3D world, we perceive a past, present, and future. We get that, okay?
Yes,
so
calm down.
So one way that I have understood or, like, been able to visualize our lives or, like, our highest aligned path is, like, from inception, from, like, us as a baby all the way up until we are, like, you know, on our deathbed and about to die, it's, like, we are all attached. Like, not in this
form, same,
like,
Jen.
You're 5D, whatever you'd want to call it. Like,
I'd absorb this better without her.
It's all the same energy because it's all happening at the same time, right? So it's almost like you can envision it as, like, this worm of, like, every single part of you from baby until death, right? And I've been able to kind of visualize that. So it's, like, you can almost, like, tap into, like, different versions. When you have a memory of things, it's, like, you tap into, like, that past self, or when you have, like, visions or dreams, it's like you, like, tapping into, like, your most highest life path, right? I'm in a math class and
triple integral.
Never once have I reacted like that in a math class. I wanted to die in all of them.
We are getting, like, the shadow of a 4D object when you're doing triple integrals. There's integrals, there's double, and there's triple. So when you're doing triple, you're getting the shadow or the projection of a 4D object. So she always calls it the shadow, right? And this is what just blew my mind, because then she says this. Can we turn the volume up?
So the shadow is a 3D object. So yeah, you as a three-dimensional human may be a shadow of some four-dimensional creature that...
Literally chills, because, like, the way that if you think of, like, us and our energy being this, like, all, like, encompassing thing, because time is all happening all at once, so it's all together, what we are experiencing right now is at this time, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, when T equals December 2nd at this time, that is what we're experiencing, the projection of that 4D into this 3D world.
That's what Einstein said. He said we're slices of bread in a big old bread loaf. So, I don't know the integral part, but...
I'll be honest, I tuned it out because I couldn't absorb the information the way she was presenting it. But it never makes sense to me how time is all happening at one time. I just, no matter how, who explains it to me, I don't think I can understand it.
It's 11/22/63.
Just... Yeah. The Stephen King.
The snozzberries taste like snozzberries.
Yeah,
Donnie Darko explains it, Laurel says.
Does he?
I don't know. It's in Donnie Darko.
I was actually thinking about this just last night.
Oh, yeah?
Lost sleep over it.
Over Donnie Darko?
No, I've never seen it. Oh, okay, over the idea that time is happening all at one time. Oh, yeah. And, like, how can that be? Because that's my question. How can that be? Because.
Sinisterhood will be right back.
So.
That's what they say.
I don't understand. And I also don't know how we know that.
You know, they'll be like, well, it's because the math proved it. I'm like, well, there's a...
But math that you made up proved it?
Well, I mean, it's like, that's a great question. And if I'm not mistaken, a number of mathematicians throughout the ages have gone mad. And
I imagine so.
Truly, I mean, it just... warps the mind. David Foster Wallace wrote a whole book. It's like something infinity, not Chasing Infinity or something, but it's something.
Chasing Amy?
Yeah, Chasing Amy. It's about him.
the finger traps?
Yeah, the Chinese finger traps. No, it's like biographies of mathematicians and where they were led to in these places of, like, obsession. Because, like you said, it's like made up, but if it's almost like a made up language that you learn and you expand and you can expand. But then there's a wall, and then when someone can expand it, or I think they said recently AI solved some problem that has been unsolved for like 100 years or something like that. So it's
if you've got a brain and mind for numbers and you're
speaking a different language.
You know, like Einstein level, that type, I imagine it would drive you mad. Like that composer, Jeffrey Rush played him in the
pianist.
Movie Shine.
No. Shine, that's the one. Where
He was a pianist.
That's what, okay, he played...
Oh, I thought he composed music and... Maybe he just, I don't remember. But he went mad. I mean, I think because, like, I mean, she was a pretty good example of people that are really into that and understand it. Or like... Because your brain is just like... It looks like that lady, that meme of the woman looking around and it's just like algebra problems floating around her head and shit.
Yeah, no, seriously.
Your brain's just like in overdrive, and for those of us that do not think that fast, it's, I can't have it explained to me like that.
Well,
and I also probably need pictures.
It does help to have it slowed down and also maybe tethered to something tangible, which usually is best done through pictures, you know, because you're like, well, imagine we're a blank. Like, I do well with that.
Because I do think of time as, and I know apparently this isn't right, but in my head it is linear.
Yeah, I think so. The
like, what was she saying about when you... You can just paraphrase.
Yeah.
When you're a baby and then all the way up until now.
I think she was saying it's all happened, in which a YouTube video I once saw, and I think it maybe was like Nova, PBS, something. The guy was explaining it like a loaf of bread, that all of time is a loaf of bread. And then, or if you think about all, your whole life is a roller coaster ride and there's cameras along the way to take your picture. Every moment is one of those like potential picture moments you could have taken a picture at. So I guess that's the idea, is that it exists.
Can where you take the picture change a loop-de-loop?
I think that's a great question, and I don't know, in short.
Are these theories saying it's predestined, or that you do have autonomy and like free will to make choices that can change the trajectory of your life?
It is the latter, is my understanding, because the former does not comport with reality, which is to say every choice you make in every moment causes a million different splinter offs.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the idea, is that, you know, oh, I could never be a blank. In some universe you are. Mm-hmm. And so you create reality in every moment by the choice you make. And I think that's what people misunderstand, is they think, well, there's these timelines and I have to go. And you're the timeline. You're choosing what timeline you're on. Literally every second you choose what timeline you're on.
And still that is hard for me to understand, because like you said, if every time you make a decision, a big one or a small one, a million splinter offs happen.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are, oh my God, how do I explain this? Like, okay, you and I are, maybe I don't understand timelines. This is a timeline, like you and I sitting here. Or are each of us experiencing our own timeline because it is mental?
Great question. I think probably the latter. I think in some ways there is a universal existence, but as she was saying, it sounds like math backs it up, that your projection, like, it is a unique experience. The universality, like we talked about that one time with people that are on DMT and they think you're actually mm-hmm. unveiling and seeing the real world. And there is a real world insofar as infrared, right? Like we said, you mm-hmm. can't see it, but if you put the goggles on, or night vision or whatever, and that's something we can't see, but that is there. As far as timelines, yeah, to me, I don't think, oh, it's kind of like a single roller coaster. I think more of it like it is in every single second, your choices determine what you're stepping into. Mm-hmm. And so they all, like you said, it's not that they intersect and make different ones, is that there's like an unlimited number of them. So it's like channels that you're tuning into.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of people think, you know, oh, I have to wait for this thing to happen, or I have to jump timeline. Timeline jumping happens every second you decide what universe you're in. And I think like Dochi is a really great example of that. A lot of her original YouTube videos she made of like, I am a superstar and I deserve to be on the Grammy stage. I know I am a talented artist and I'm going to operate and act like a talented artist every day. And she woke up and she wrote and she sang and she performed. And so she stepped into a superstar, and within 12 months, I mean, she's winning Best New Artist.
Mm-hmm.
And so kind of that idea of like the reality in which Dochi wins a Grammy existed. And she just tuned her channel of like, what am I doing every second to be that trajectory? So kind of manifestation.
So then that would mean to me, in my head, I'm like, this is, we know each other in this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're each making our own timelines, then it's more present than in my head I was thinking about it.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? It's all made up. It's just a different way of kind of looking at it. Like a timeline where we're not friends and we're not sitting here together and we never met and all of those things happened.
Yeah, I mean, and I think as far as my consciousness currently experiencing this version of reality, it is that. I don't know how many times I go again or when I go again, what deja vu is, what my dreams are, how that all factors in. So I don't know. You know, maybe we did live a life where we didn't ever knew you guys and we didn't have another...
I mean, somewhere that timeline exists.
Yeah.
Where something, you know, early on in our childhood, like, split. And but there's probably more than you can even comprehend of those timeline splits from the second that you were able to make decisions.
Yeah, I mean, how I envision it is, like, bundles of cords all intertwined in a closed loop system, and that all of we're all little... balls of energy that are like traveling along different of those loops and jumping the different loops and just, you know, what is, who made the loops? I don't know.
But even though we are both doing that, we still remain in the timeline where we know each other.
Yeah. Yeah,
and that's where it starts to get to be a bit of a mind fuck. Cause like, what if I, or is it possible to jump to a timeline where like, this isn't your life?
That's a great question. And I don't know, but I don't think so, because, you know, you have the idea of like, you're born where you're born. You interact with the people you interact with. Some people want to say like, God made that. And I agree. Maybe God, the universe, whatever, you have a group of people that you're meant to cross paths with. And I think we are our
soul family.
Yeah. Your soul crew, you know, the group, the people, your bus buddies, whatever you want to call it. You know what I mean? Great question. Dory said, who submitted this video to fuck all our minds?
Yeah.
This late on a Sunday night.
Well, we should move on to the next one.
We can, Yes. But there's a lot to discover. Throw it back in the chat. One of you all, I'm sorry I missed it. It went up. Yeah. Jess said, are you Sunday scaried yet? Throw it back in the chat. Cause someone said there's a good podcast or show that explains like time stuff in a like easy to understand way, so maybe we can tune into
that. But I would definitely listen to that. It's fascinating.
You, right? It's one of those things where you're like, what does it all mean? Okay, well, thank you, Adria, for the existential crisis. PBS FaceTime, Paris said too. Alina mentioned it. Yeah, the rest is science, Alina says. Okay, well, good recommendation. Lauren M sent this next one.
Into their back. Okay. It takes a little practice. As they stand, you lean them and they walk.
Oh, there is some skill to this.
A little bit of puppetry.
Wow.
Well, Fresno Nightcrawlers.
We're seeing the Fresno Nightcrawlers live. All my life has been training for this. Oh, wait. My Fresno Nightcrawler is drunk. This is the Fresno Nightcrawler. And this is the guy who made it.
So you're the first person in the world to know what these were, and the only person ever except for us to use one. So.
Wow. And that was
here.
It was right here.
It was shot just over
here. Is this true?
That's where the tripod was set up, right? In that kind of area this way, and it was pointed this way. There was a big tree that used to be here, and you can see them move behind the tree. That tree actually existed, and then we had to mask out the sides as they went behind
this
it.
Guy is the... origin like story of the Fresno Nightcrawlers.
Like I guess so.
Wow.
The lore of this thing forever, because this will be...
Wow. I mean, you are
this
the thing.
Big. So we actually debunked the Fresno Nightcrawlers. But wait, you created the second one. I got a little confused and thought you had created the original one.
We couldn't recreate the first one. We tried really hard to create the first sighting of the Fresno Nightcrawler, and... I don't know how it was done.
You're saying basically you don't know how they did it.
We could not recreate it.
That is crazy. Yeah. So it's not a hard debunk on this one.
Oh, no.
Oh, man.
Why couldn't you recreate it?
It's a fucking cryptid.
But, like, what part of it?
We had no idea what exactly happened in the original sighting in Fresno.
Damn.
Well,
so the Nightcrawler
mystery continues then.
Needs to crawl again. I'm fucking bummed because I sent the Fresno Nightcrawler link to the group chat and then I forgot to buy it myself and now it's fucking sold out.
Oh, damn. I wanted it too.
Now it's sold out.
Maybe they'll do another round of them.
If you see another run, DM us.
Yeah, please.
Send us an email. Well, thank you, Lauren M., for that one. I'm glad to know. It's not debunked, at least not the original one. Just the follow-up. Jacqueline sent this next one in. Oh, thank you. Candace said you can sign up for notifications when it's back.
Oh, sweet.
Baby giggle break.
Baby giggle break.
Soon, Jack found himself outside, standing in a puddle. What was he meant to do out here?
Hilarious.
Jack is on one.
His football was flat and there was no one to play with. I know, he said, bounding indoors, the dripping fur balls.
He looks like a Disney baby.
It's like your drunk friend.
Football howled, Mom. No. On the back of his bedroom door, Jack found what he wanted. His United shirt. For some reason, he always felt more confident wearing it. He usually played better, too.
That's a funny sound. He'd put it on.
And instantly felt happy. Back outside, it had stopped raining. Jack tossed a frizzy tennis ball into
I think you can read that baby anything.
Yeah.
4 score 7 years ago.
Bounced it on his knees and chest.
Giggle
Babies
contagious.
Have a good laugh. They do have good laughs.
He thought that was hilarious. Wasn't there a Grey's Anatomy episode where a laughing baby is a sign of some kind of rare baby disease? Someone tell the mother.
What? Both my kids, especially Ella, laughed a lot. And I never heard that.
Go down, kid.
Laughing baby disease.
That's a real fucking thing. Laurel Button says it's seizures. Holy shit. Oh, laughing too early.
Oh, I never heard that.
I love little British babies. I feel like, why did his laugh sound British? He was like... Indeed.
Yeah, they do sound fancy.
Cheerio, cheerio. All right, well, our final video of the night is from Lauren M. as well. A wee bloke, indeed.
Wee lad.
Last week, I upgraded our oven with a hot dog roller. My wife made me put it back, so naturally, I moved it to my bedside table.
Yeah, dude.
And to my surprise, she wasn't a fan of it. Apparently, it doesn't fit the aesthetic of our bedroom or whatever.
Hater.
And it hit me. The issue's not the hot dog roller. The issue is the aesthetic.
Oh, yeah.
And just like that, we are so freaking mad. And honestly, turn around. The dog. Dan was a way better idea. First, I went ahead and upgraded her.
The weenie in the candlestick holder was a nice touch.
The dog proximity I had going on. Plus, she was the one that like gave me the idea and encouraged me to decorate her room.
Damn. Those footlongs?
Dude, you're just like, wake up in the middle of the night hungry, reach over and get a footlong?
They call it ambiance or something, but I just started getting rid of anything that didn't make me think about it. Finishing touches, and even turning like our
that.
Dog
yeah,
into
the
a
dog goes too.
Like an extreme home makeover dog edition.
I have that costume for the goose.
She's going to be on board for this one. It's a dream bedroom setup.
Nice.
You can kick back, relax, have a dog. Plus, look how this place looks at night.
I mean, magical.
The ladies
smells
love
like
it.
A 7-Eleven all the time.
I love this one, and I can't wait to see your reaction. Stay tuned.
Ladies love.
He had to buy so many things for that bit.
He did.
But now you get hot dogs whenever you want.
He said, ladies.
Probably could give them to your friends, too.
Oh, yeah.
Family.
Tell them to come on over. Go in the bedroom and get you a dog.
Get a dog. Everybody grab a dog.
Oh, okay. They are in the bedroom.
Hand them out
though.
For Halloween.
You do. Yeah, let the kids come through like a haunted house. And they're like, that's hot dog guy's
get
house.
Get a dog at the end.
If you go in hot dog guy's house.
We could have veggie dogs and yeah, all beef.
One veggie, you know? One beef. But the kids in the neighborhood are like, if you go in his house, you don't come back. He turns you into the hot dogs.
Yeah.
Where do you think the meat comes from? Well, thank you guys for joining us this evening.
Yes.
We love spending our Sundays with you all. If you want to join our Patreon and listen to some bonus content, some fun stuff we got coming up, go use our coupon code BIMBOification. Situation. Two words, one together.
How are we spelling? Maybe we shorten it.
Oh, yes.
It doesn't matter. No yes, one's yes. going to use it.
We'll see. We'll see. Hope it cools down. Thank you.
Have a great week, everybody.
Yeah,
and
teach
yourselves. We'll see you next Sunday.
See you next time.
Bye.